You've repented of your sin, intending to forsake it, yet you don't feel forgiven. Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth explains how to approach those feelings of condemnation.
Those thoughts, those emotions, they aren't rooted in truth. And so what do? I transfer my focus from the thing that's not true and discipline my mind to think about the thing that is true.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Monday, September 12th, 2016. Believers in Christ have been forgiven, yet so many doubt that it could really be true. Over the last few episodes of this podcast, Nancy has been offering great insights on what it means to be forgiven. A group of women have been listening along, and they have some comments and questions based on Nancy's teaching. We'll start with our friend, Holly Eliff.
What do we do when we have forgiven, and then when those sins, again, revisit you and the accuser brings them to mind and says, yeah, but remember, you did this. Even though it has been forgiven by the Lord, I think one way to think about that is like a shark with no teeth. You know, that memory can come back, but you can remind the enemy, you cannot come after me with that because that has been dealt with before the Lord. It has no teeth in my life. It has no effect in my life. As those memories flood back, I have the perfect right to stand there and say, you have no right to accuse me about that thing. That is God's. And so it takes the teeth out of that memory, even though it comes back to my mind. Does that make sense?
And you know, the whole point of the book I wrote, Lies Women Believe, is that we get tormented and ultimately end up making wrong choices when we believe things that aren't true. And so if I'm believing this sin that I have confessed, that I have, for which I've sought God's forgiveness with the intent to forsake it, it's not that I want to keep committing it. When it comes back to haunt me, I have to realize that that is not coming from God. That is not truth. Truth is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So rather than putting my focus on the sin, now, if it's one thing if I haven't really confessed it, if I haven't really repented of it, sometimes I think we get tormented because we haven't really made a clean break with it. But here my heart is, I want to make a clean break with this. I want to be free from it. I want to be cleansed from it. I have confessed it with the intent to forsake it. Then I have to say, you know what? Those thoughts, those emotions, they aren't rooted in truth. And so what do? I transfer my focus from the thing that's not true and discipline my mind to think about the thing that is true. And that's where the focus needs to go, to Christ. It needs to go to the cross. I wrote at the top of my notes on this series today, before we started the session, focus on Christ, the gospel, the cross. And that's what I'm trying to do all through this series and every day on Revive Our Hearts. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth, including our past confessed sins, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Turn to Christ. Turn to the cross. See what He did. See how He paid the penalty. Hear Him say, Father, forgive them. And that's what is involved in bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Saying, by God's grace, I am not going to give this thought a chance to take root in my mind. I'm not going to mull it over. I'm going to face it off with thoughts that are true. And in so many areas of our lives, we have to do that. But I think in this area of guilt over things that we have confessed and repented of, that's what we have to do. We have to keep going back and counseling our hearts according to the truth. And ultimately, you'll find that the truth replaces the lie. A lot of it's what you focus on.
When you're talking about forgiving sins, do you take care of yourself first and then go talk to someone that you've offended or that you feel you've sinned against? Because you've said that oftentimes we neglect to look at the large percentage of problem we've contributed to the whole situation. How do you know when to go talk to someone and when the right time is?
Well, I can't tell you when the right time is because that's something you have to ask the Lord and He will show you. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. But I think, Barbara, you've hit on two things here. Jesus said, if your brother has something against you, go to him. If you have something against your brother, go to him. The point is, in any situation where there's been a breach in the relationship, you be the one to try and initiate reconciliation. You have a responsibility. Whether the other person has sinned or you've sinned or you don't know who sinned or you both sinned, which is more often than not the case. Don't wait for the other person. Don't say it's their responsibility. They should come. Yes, they should come, but that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to go seek to be a reconciler as God initiates reconciliation with us. Now, as to which order, in which order you deal with that, I encourage people, as you think about how people have sinned against you, which is where we're most conscious on the issue of forgiveness. It's so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so is doing this to me, or I live in this situation where I'm being time after time wounded in this area. We're not saying brush that under the carpet. We're saying you need to deal with it. But before you can have the wisdom to know how to deal with it, and before you can get the grace to extend forgiveness when you really have been wronged, and that takes God's grace. That's not natural. Everything in you wants them to pay, wants them to hurt. So how do you get God's grace to really extend forgiveness to someone who has really sinned against you? Before you can have that wisdom and that grace, you have to make sure your conscience is clear toward them. And that's why I think a good starting place is to say, Lord, it's very clear to me how this person has hurt me. But would you search my heart and show me, is there any way that I have sinned in this situation? Anything that I did that may have provoked the situation. Now, that's not to say that I am to blame for what they did. I'm just to take responsibility for what I did. And is there anything I may have done to provoke it? Is there anything I may have done to intensify it? Is there, and sometimes we're just blind to those things, and the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to see. Or maybe it's in how you responded to their offense. And they sinned against you, they hurt you, so you retorted, you retaliated, you smeared their reputation, or maybe you just took it all inside and let that resentment simmer, but you have held hostility in your heart toward that person. So maybe it's been subtle, maybe it's been overt, but you know that your conscience is not clear. Maybe you just withdrawn, like the turtle that sticks its head back in under the shell. I'm not getting hurt again. So you've pulled back in your shell and you said, I'm just going to put this wall around me, this shell around me. And there are women walking around with a hard shell around them because they've been hurt and they don't want to get hurt again. Is that a response of faith? Is that a response of compassion and love? That's fear. That's not of God. That's self-protection. That's not of God. So ask God to show you your responsibility in the issue. And don't make things up. You don't have to try and, you know, say, oh, what did I do to, I must have done something terrible. I didn't look at them the right way, or I only smiled for 5 seconds when I passed them in the hall, or, you know, that's an oversensitive conscience. Just put yourself in the light before the Lord and say, Lord, here's my heart. Search it. Show me. Is there some way that I have wronged this person? Do I have some responsibility in this? Now, that's not for the sake of making you feel bad. That's for the sake of letting you get free from the guilt. Proverbs says, only by pride comes contention. Where there's no pride, there will be no contention. Where there is contention, there is pride. You say, yeah, my husband's sure proud. Well, he may be, but are you proud? And have you been harboring that resentment, that hurt? Have you been giving him a cold shoulder? Have you been treating him disrespectfully? You say, but he didn't deserve respect. That's right. That's what mercy's all about. We're all undeserving sinners. And so it's a matter of saying, first of all, God, how can I get mercy? And confessing my sin so I can get God's mercy. And then I will have, I believe, the ability to ask God to show me how to deal with that situation. What's the timing? How should I go? What should I say? Do I take somebody else with me? There are some really, really sticky, tough situations we end up in human relationships. Sin complicates the whole world, you know? And we get emails from women and I'm thinking, oh God, it would take the wisdom of Solomon and more to know how to sort through this situation. And I don't envy people who are in those situations. And a lot of times I don't have the wisdom to offer them, but I know God does. And I know if their conscience is clear and they are seeking the Lord, that He will show them what to do. Now, that doesn't mean that He will make the problem go away. It doesn't mean, you know, again, sin complicates things. And some of us, through multiple generations of sinful choices, are living in situations that are not ever going to be really healthy, maybe this side of eternity. Now, God can transform, and He does, and I'm so glad we get those letters too. But sometimes you have to continue living in a situation that's just hard. But you can do it with a clear conscience. And you can do it knowing that you are fulfilling the responsibility God has for you in that relationship, in that situation. And then at least you can sleep at night. It may not be easy, but you know, ultimately that suffering for righteousness' sake becomes a sanctifying thing. Not easy, and I don't mean to minimize it at all, but it becomes something God will use to make you more like Jesus. And we have women in this room who are living in circumstances that are very, very difficult, very complicated, very messed up. But your life doesn't have to be in bondage to all of that. God will give you wisdom and grace. And I don't mean to oversimplify it, but when it comes down to it, God's wisdom and God's grace are two very incredible resources to live in a broken world. Another question, comment?
I had a situation with a neighbor a number of years ago, and she sinned against me. And I thought I was very pure and righteous at the time, but I was in a Bible study several years later, the next year actually, in Matthew 18, and the Lord convicted me that I had been very sinful in my response to her because I did exactly what I shouldn't have done. I hardened my heart against her, I criticized her openly, and I really hated her in my heart. So at the time, the Lord convicted me that I needed to forgive her, and she had moved out of town. I didn't even know where she lived. But I promised the Lord that if He would allow me to ever see her again, that I would ask her to forgive me for the part that I had done to sin against her. Several years later, I met her in the grocery store. And the Lord immediately brought my promise that I'd made to Him to my mind. I said, oh, I don't think I want to do that. But I took a deep breath and I went over to her and I asked her forgiveness. And I did not know how she would respond because she had been a very difficult person when she lived in the neighborhood. She immediately said, oh, it was all my fault. I was so wrong in what I did. And she confessed her sin and we hugged. And I tell you, the release that I felt at that moment was so indescribable. I mean, God's word is true. And I learned a lot from that situation and some other situations where forgiveness has been involved. God is so faithful. And I always try to remember to thank Him that He does use the bad things that happen to us for His good in our lives. And I feel like I have learned a lot from what I've suffered from others in the area of pride, that sometimes pride just creeps in. And then when these things happen, the Lord reminds me that He's not going to allow me to live in pride. And so I just praise Him that He keeps on working and He doesn't give up on us. And He keeps on teaching us through the things that we suffer.
I've been doing recently some radio interviews on the subject of my book, Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. And some of those interviews have been live call-in programs where people from all over the country can call in and make a comment or ask a question. And there have been some really sweet testimonies shared of women, a few men along the way, who've said, I thought it was so hard. It was so hard to come to the point of forgiving or seeking forgiveness, whichever was needed in a situation. But God finally gave me grace, or I received God's grace to do it. And then they talk about the release, the joy, the freedom on the other side. And the sense is, why did it take me so long to get there? Why did I wait so long? And you know, if you purpose to clear your conscience and to extend forgiveness, God's more committed than you are to your having a clear conscience. And if it's several years before you run into them in the grocery store, now I'd say, if you can avoid it being several years, get it done sooner. Let your fingers do the walking, you know, get on the internet, find their number. There should not be anything, if you can possibly get to that person to seek to be reconciled, do it as quickly as you can. Because once you get on the other side, you say, this is wonderful, the freedom, the release. And look at the potential then for reconciled relationships. Now, when you seek someone else's forgiveness or you extend forgiveness to them, that doesn't mean that they will always see their error. And sometimes it happens just the other way. They come back, yeah, I knew you were wrong. And you're going, oh, I was hoping you would see that maybe you had a little bit of problem here. That's not your problem. Let God work. Let Him work in their heart. You can be right with God insofar as possible within you. Live peaceably with all men. And I would just say, is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there someone whose forgiveness you need to seek? Don't let it just stay there in your heart, in your conscience. Deal with it. There are so many people in our churches, dare I say the majority, who have in their heart some issue of unforgiveness and or some issue where they need to seek forgiveness. They've been wrong and they've never gone back and made it right. Is it any wonder that there's such a short flow, a short circuiting, a blocking of the power and presence of God's grace and God's presence in our churches? You want to see the presence of God flow through your life, through your home, through your church? Then we need to take seriously this issue of forgiveness. I serve with Life Action Ministries, which is the parent ministry of Revive Our Hearts. And we have teams that minister in local churches all across the country, four teams. And they go in and they'll do an extended time of emphasis on revival in the church. And one of the things they talk about is this issue of getting a clear conscience and of forgiving those who have sinned against you. And, you know, it's not that people haven't heard this before. I mean, most people know what I've been teaching on this subject. It's that they haven't done it. And so there are actually times in the service when we will just say, look, you've got a whole body of believers here. Are there any issues that need to be dealt with right here, right now, in this service before you go home? And there are people, families, people who work together in local church ministries, small group leaders, worship teams, who have issues going on relationally. And then they're standing up leading the praise time. I mean, it can happen to people who are doing what I'm doing, teaching the Word of God. It can happen to your pastor. It can happen to me where I'm teaching something, but I've got an issue in my heart. Thank God He usually deals with me before I get to teaching, and I try and make those things right as soon as He brings them to my attention. But I've known what it was to be sitting in church. Jesus said, when you bring your offering, if you remember somebody has something against you, leave your offering at the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come back and give your offering. Jesus said, when you stand praying in church, publicly, privately, what you're in your quiet time, you're at church, if you have anything in your heart against anyone, what are you supposed to do? Stop. Forgive him. Deal with it. And so we say in our services sometimes, if there's somebody in this auditorium that you have sinned against and you need to confess that to them and seek their forgiveness, we're just going to stop here and wait and let you do it. You say, people really do that in church? You better believe it. Because God has been convicting people. God's been preparing their hearts. And we'll just wait in some of those services. And people, you know, are patient, and you'll start to see people one at a time moving to someone else in that auditorium. Husband turning to a wife, parents turning to a teen, teens to parents, two women who've been working together in the women's ministry, but they've been at loggerheads with each other. And sometimes nobody else knows it. Sometimes everybody knows it, you know. It's amazing. These things can just get so big in terms of the issues. And they will actually just start going to one another privately, but they're in the church service and saying, I've been so wrong. I've sinned against you. The Lord has convicted me of that. Here's what I've done. Would you please forgive me? And it's amazing. You'll start to see over that auditorium people with tears coming down their cheeks. You'll see people start to hug each other. people who have been at odds with each other. Now, we didn't tell them they had to love each other. We just said, go and get your conscience clear. But it's amazing how the grace and the love of Christ start to flow through a service like that. Now, don't wait for a church service like that. That would be a great thing. But, you know, there shouldn't be those things piled up. Seek forgiveness. Humble yourself. Make it right. And extend forgiveness. Let it go. If you need to go and talk to the other person about it, that's great. Sometimes we don't really need to go talk. Sometimes we just need to say, you know what? I am going to forbear. This is a fallen world. We are fallen people. And I know that person was not trying to make my life miserable. Yeah, they were insensitive, but so I'm insensitive too, probably more than I realize. So Lord, I'm going to just choose to press the delete button and not to take an offense. Psalm says, those who love your law have great peace and nothing will offend them. Nothing will cause them to stumble. So some of the stuff, we just need to let it go and get over it. Where there's been a breach in the relationship, go talk about it. And don't go to point out their responsibility. And don't be disappointed if they don't quickly see theirs. You let God deal with them. You deal with you. Let me say, if we could have that kind of flowing confession, forgiveness, giving and receiving of forgiveness in our churches and in our homes, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ would become a mighty force in the land and in the world. I think people aren't lining up, by and large, to get into our churches or to take Christ seriously because they've never seen us take Christ seriously when it comes to these real issues of life. Listen, anybody can love someone who's lovable. Anyone can love somebody who's never hurt them. I mean, lost people do that. But where the world really takes notice is when we extend forgiveness and deal with relationships where there is a difficult person or an offensive person or a hurt in a relationship, when we deal with that in Christ-like ways, with mercy, grace, forgiveness, reconciliation, seeking to be restored, that is amazing. And the world will stop and take notice. And people will want to know, how can I be a part of that family?
When you forgive like you've been forgiven, it sets you free. Not only that, it's also a beautiful picture of the gospel. Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth has been showing you why forgiveness is so important. This is such a huge issue that affects all of us, and I hope you won't let this moment pass if there's unforgiveness in your life. Would you take the next step in dealing with the bitterness? Nancy has written a helpful book called Choosing Forgiveness. It will show you why forgiveness matters so much. It will take you through steps of completely forgiving and finding freedom. You can order the book from Revive Our Hearts by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959 or visit reviveourhearts.com. Today's program would not be possible without a special group of listeners who have prayed for you and given to you. How have they done that? Well, this special team, the Ministry Partner Team, commits to praying for Revive Our Hearts and for those listening. So they've prayed for this program to be meaningful in your life. The Ministry Partner Team also gives monthly to help keep this podcast coming to you. If you're a regular listener who benefits from Revive Our Hearts and have a passion for joining in on what God is doing through it, you are a candidate for the Ministry Partner Team. When you join, we'll send you a book from Nancy as a welcome gift. You'll also get a monthly devotional written just for this team. And there are a lot of other benefits too, like a once-a-year registration to one of our conferences. Get all the details on joining the Ministry Partner Team by visiting reviveourhearts.com. When you pray, lead us not into temptation. What exactly are you asking? Nancy illuminates this phrase in detail starting tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.